Father God, that is one thing that we will do today and tomorrow, is that we are going to praise you and worship you and thank you and share about you, that you did something that no other person has ever done, to pay a debt for our sins, to cleanse us white as snow. And we come here today and we give you thanks for what the cross means to each one of us here. May this message, may your words speak truth today to each and every single one of us. And may we leave here today encouraged to know that you're the one that gives grace and forgiveness and unconditional love, so that we can live and one day live with you eternally. So we give you this message, we give you this service, we give you this worship, and may we do it all in your name and glorify you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Man, it is great to see you here. Thank you so much for coming and you know, I know you can be anywhere you want to be, and I thank you so much for being here at Living Hope and for worshiping our Father. This morning, I want to share two more messages in this somewhat of this break of Acts that I'd started, and I wanted to share a message in terms of how to deepen your faith. And as we got two more messages for today and for next week on Easter, I hope that this message will be a great reminder for each of us of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on this cross in terms of what we actually are going to experience each and every day when we understand what the cross truly means. This particular Friday is Good Friday. This particular Friday offers a blessing that comes from the cross. But oftentimes, if you're anything like me, especially as a kid, you know, I didn't really realize what Good Friday really was. I just didn't. I just knew that I didn't have to go to school. And that was a great Friday. I didn't understand any other part of that, but what it really actually meant, I just knew that they were giving us a day off, and that was a great day. And then you also hear about people, you know, in terms of the expression, TGIF, you know, because then you get that Friday off, or you're done with work, and you can go out, and you can get ready to enjoy the weekend, and so people do that. And I think even my son even went, did you go to TGIF this weekend? Yeah, yesterday I think he went for the, he's like me, he went for the all-you-can-eat appetizers and stuff, so that's always good. And so they even created a restaurant because of how good Friday can be. But here's the deal. It's not just little kids that may not truly understand what Good Friday was and is all about. I talk to adults all the time, and I believe that they don't even understand why there really is a Good Friday and what Good Friday is all about. There's times in your life where you'll talk to people, and maybe there could be people sitting in this church today that don't understand the true blessings behind what Good Friday is all about. Maybe you're a person that hasn't really been attending church much. Maybe you've never really experienced what this whole idea of having a relationship with Jesus Christ is all about. Maybe it's just that you've been a Christian for a long time, but maybe it's the fact that we forget, like me sometimes, that I forget that it's Good Friday every day. And understanding and forgetting, because life goes on and we hear all the different things and in social media and on the news and our world around us and stuff. And we're looking for a Good Friday. We're looking for a good Monday and a good Tuesday and a good Wednesday and Thursday and so on. But it's this day coming up. You got today and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday to look forward, to understand what this true day is all about. What is so good about Good Friday? What is the message that I need to hear today and be able to share with people tomorrow? What is the message that I need to hear today so that I can be ready to share that tomorrow? Because there's people out there that don't know what Good Friday is. It's not any normal day. It was a very important day. And next week, we're going to talk about another very important day. The two events, one that deals with death and one that deals with life. When we look at the cross, so many different things can go through your mind as you just stare at it. And that's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to look past me and just stare at the cross for just a few minutes. See, it was on the day that Jesus was betrayed by one of his disciples, Judas. He was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was deprived of water and sleep and food for over 24 hours. He was moved from one location to the next because no one really knew what to do with him. He was questioned over and over. He was slapped around, and they pulled his beard, and they made fun of him, and they beat him. As they finally got to the place, because they're asking him, "Are you really the king of the Jews? Are you really saying that you're the king of the world? Are you really saying that you are the Son of God? Is that what you're telling me?" "It is as you say." And because he said that, they took him and they whipped him. They scourged him 39 times 9 until the point where they had to stop before it killed him. They shredded his back. They shredded his body. They put crowns of thorns into his skull. They made him carry his own cross until he couldn't carry it any longer. And there he was humiliated as a criminal. And they nailed him to the cross. They put the piercings through his hands and his feet. And they allowed him to suffocate, taking his breath. Imagine the spikes in his arms and legs where he had to keep lifting himself up and down to be able to take that breath. What's so good about Good Friday? It wasn't good for Jesus, I can tell you that. And imagine the Father watching his only begotten Son having to go through all what he had to go through. See, this is rated R right now. This is a part of the book a lot of times we don't want to talk about it because it doesn't go along with Good Friday. It doesn't sound like it's good. So what is so good about Good Friday? What is so important about this particular Friday that's coming up? What is so good about it? Because he did something for you and for me. He did something for you and for me. In your Bibles, as we open up God's Word, the main text I want to go, and I'm going to move around a little bit, but I would like for you to go to Hebrews 12:2, and I'm going to be using a little bit different translations to be able to show, but you read through your particular translation. Hebrews 12:2. As we begin to look at the blessings from the cross, Hebrews 12:2, we must keep our eyes on Jesus. I could stop right there and just preach on that. We can keep our eyes. We must keep our eyes on Jesus. Is our eyes, is your eyes, is my eyes on Jesus today? Do I have a deep focus on Him and my personal relationship with God? Or has my eyes been going and moving around to different things and it's taken leadership over Jesus Christ as Lord of my life? What is the one thing right now that is consuming you in your life? What are you giving the most time to right now in your personal walk with Christ? And if you don't have a personal walk with Christ, then that means that obviously your eyes is nowhere even near to the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a walking, talking relationship with the Lord each and every day, we as Christians, we struggle from time to time to keep our eyes focused on Him. There's so many things out there to distract us. There's so many times I may be driving and then all of a sudden I may exit off the road because I see something else so much more appealing that I want to do. What's keeping your focus? Or is there anything that's keeping your focus off of Christ? We must keep our eyes on Jesus who leads us. Is the Lord leading you? And if He's not leading you, who is? Or what is leading you? That makes our faith complete. The Bible teaches without faith it's impossible to please God. How can my faith be complete if something else is leading me? If someone else is leading me? If I am off the path completely and I'm not even on the road that He has me going down and I have drifted away and gone some other direction, I've become prodigal with my parents, I've become prodigal with my God, I've become prodigal with my co-workers, I've become prodigal with my wife or my husband or my children. What am I going towards? What am I leading to? What am I being led by in my life? And He endured the shame. That was set up for criminals, by the way. He endured the shame of being nailed to a cross because He knew later on, watch this, He would be glad that He did. What? Why would Jesus be glad He went through all of this shame, all of this torture, and even rejection? Peter denied Him. The disciples fled from Him. Judas betrayed Him, and His father turned His back on His own son. See, Jesus Christ and the Father, when Jesus was being nailed to the cross as a criminal, He was taking on something. He was taking on sin of the whole entire world, of everything that you have ever done and anything that you ever will do. He took all of that onto the cross. And because the Father cannot deal with sin, He turned His back on His own Son. He endured the shame. I was thinking about, when I was writing this, I was thinking about all the moms out there that has given birth to a child. I want you to think about it for a second. The morning sickness, when it all might have started, having maybe no appetite, doctor's visits, maybe lots of doctors, maybe humiliating doctor's visits, anxiety, getting ready, dealing with everything. Come on, women, help me out. What are some other things? Huh? Eating pickles. If you don't like pickles, that's bad. Think about it. I'm not a woman. I don't know. I'm only imagining what you must have gone through, or you are going through, or you will go through to have a child. And then the time comes and the contractions started happening. The pain. And then your body of having the baby or going through a C-section, doing whatever to be able to bring life into this world. Why would a mother go through so much? It's because of all the blessings it would bring to her and to her father and to her child's life. So why would Jesus Christ go through all of this? Why would he take on all the shame, the humiliation, the scourging and the beating and the making fun of and the ridicule, even up to the point of the cross? If you're really the Son of God, then come off that cross. Being tested over and over. Why would he go through so much? It's because of the blessings that it would bring to him, to his Father, and to you and to I. Imagine finding out that you had this incurable disease and you passed away unnecessarily, prematurely. You could have lived sooner. You could have been able to live a lot longer life, but the problem was that your doctor, your parents, your friends, your co-workers, all around you, didn't get around to tell you some good news. Did you know that they found a cure? They didn't get around to it. They forgot. They got too busy. They got too sidetracked. They got too selfish. It's all about me. As long as I'm not going through it, I don't need to worry about anybody else. But imagine, even your own loved ones, you found out on the internet, you found out through a story, you found out somehow from someone else that there was now a cure to the disease that you have. And no one told you. And you died prematurely, unnecessarily. What would be your response? Maybe anger, frustration, sad, lonely, confused. Wouldn't you come up and say, "Didn't you love me? Why would you tell me? Why would you? You didn't have like 5 minutes to tell me that there was a cure for my disease. You wouldn't spend just 1 minute telling me that? You don't have any time. You were seriously that busy? I mean, you've been on the phone. You've been watching TV, you've been playing video games, you didn't work 24 hours a day. You're telling me that there wasn't just a little bit of time that you could tell me that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and gave me the cure of my sinful disease that would save me for all of eternity? You're telling me you don't have time for that?" See, if we don't know the blessings of why Jesus died on Good Friday, then we're going to miss all the blessings that God intended us to know. There's over 50 blessings. There could be over 100 blessings in the New Testament of what God, and through the power of the cross and what the cross was about, of all the blessings. But this morning, quickly, I'm going to go through just two of them. Number one is total forgiveness. When we think about the total forgiveness, two words that usually don't go together. Total forgiveness. Because when I look at my life, I don't have total forgiveness. I got 25% forgiveness, maybe a 50%, and if you're really lucky and I'm on a good day, I may give you 75%. But when I look at my life, and when you look at your life, how do we look at total forgiveness when someone has hurt us, offends us, sins against us? Oftentimes, we don't score very high on the forgiveness scale. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, he offers 100% total forgiveness. I need him to score 100 every day. I need him to score 100% of forgiveness every single day in my life. Because without him scoring 100%, without the cross being 100% sufficient, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If he just gave 99%, 50%, 75%, said, hey, just for you people, only for the Gentiles, only for the Greeks, only for you, only the pretty people, only the whatever people, only for this people. Oh, you didn't do this? Great, awesome. You're in, you're out. And we do that with people. But how can we give total 100% complete forgiveness to every single person that we encounter in our life? And how do we get that across about what Jesus did for you and for them? See, I think that's what our world is dealing with. Whether it's gun control or violence control or, you know, more protection here, more this, more that. The problem is that those are not solutions. The problem is that we have a sin and a heart problem. That's our problem. I can cut vegetables and fruit all day long, but it doesn't mean I'm going to use the knife on my wife. Unless I got a sin or a heart problem. It comes down to us, and we got to get to the point that we have to understand that for God to give me 100% every single day, I need to realize that what happened on Good Friday 2,000 years ago was completely sufficient so that I can live in freedom each and every day of my life. He's going to score 100%. Why? Because he's the master teacher. He knows the test. He knew it from the foundation of the earth, and he had a plan from the very beginning. And that was to have his son, who was sitting up there, right next to him. He had a plan in place. He knew how to pass the test. He knew how to pass the test, and he came here for 33 years and lived a perfect plan out so that every single person would have the opportunity to receive him in their life. Colossians 2:14, Paul writes, God wiped out the charges and canceled the record of all the times, listen to that, of all the times we've disobeyed God's commandments. How is your list going right now? Think about your week. Think about your past. Think about maybe the things that you're still questioning about. Jesus took our guilt on his own body and he nailed it to the cross. Ephesians 1:7 says, in Christ, we are set free by the blood of his death. And so we have forgiveness of sins because of God's rich grace. Oh, man. We understand how rich his grace really is. I love this verse. If you want to have a great verse, memory verse to memorize, this is it. Romans 5:20, it's not up there. But when sin increases, grace increased more. But when sin increased, grace is going to increase all the much more. Grace is always going to be leading your sin. Grace is always going to be leading. You could be doing this, this, and this, but grace is already ahead. Every single time you sin, grace is one step ahead of you. Isn't that amazing? This is what the cross was all about. This is what should be changing our world. This is what should be changing our life each and every day. This should be what's motivating us to go share this amazing cure for everybody. I want you to think about, what if you did something really bad and you got the death penalty for it? You're found guilty. There's no possibility of even prison, no possibility of parole. And then all of a sudden, as the judge condemns you to death, he takes off his robe, he comes down to off his bench, and he places himself and he takes the shackles. He takes the cuffs. He takes the chains off the condemned person and said, "You're set free. I will take your place for you. I no longer condemn you." What do you think the headlines would look like? What would the headlines look like if the judge takes the condemned prisoner's place? I'm not sure what the world would do. I'm not sure how many likes it would make on social media. I don't know who would actually care, but I think it would get people thinking a little bit. And that's our story. That's our headline that we should be sharing every single day. Judge takes, condemns prisoner's place because that's what he did for us on the cross. How would you feel? How would you feel if that happened to you? How would that affect your life if a judge did that for you? See, oftentimes we forget, even being Christians. That's why it's a Good Friday. That's why it's a Good Friday. I like what even Rick Warren shares. He says, "Grace is when God gives you what you need, not what you deserve." Grace is when God gives you what you need and not what you deserve. And you know what we all need? We need a Savior. We need a Savior in our life, and guess what? We got one. The second thing I want to close us with, the second thing that Good Friday, that the cross offers, the blessing offers, is this deep understanding of healing. When we look at our world, when we look at our own particular lives, there is healing that we all need to have. No one in here is perfect. No one else in here is exempt. When you look at your life and you look at what's going around personally inside you, where is it that you need healing in your life? Is it forgiveness? Is it pride? Is it lust? Is there some addiction that you're dealing with? Is there some relationships or friendships that are being questioned and broken? Where is it for you? Maybe in your marriage, in your fellowships with the Lord right now. When you look at your Bible, do you have to go like this? Is it still sticking together? Is it still uncomfortable when you pray? I know there's a lot of people that feel uncomfortable about praying out loud, but let me tell you something. If it's uncomfortable for you to pray quietly to yourself, that's something to look at. I get the whole thing out loud. I'm not sure if God can get if it's quietly to yourself. Where is it for you? Healing the wounds, physical, emotional, psychological. We deal with types of wounds. But let me tell you what Jesus Christ did on Good Friday. He healed these wounds. See, the deepest wounds in our life are not just physical, emotional, psychological. They're spiritual, where no one can truly actually ever know about and see. Sure, you can look at people and you can look at the fruit of their life. And you can make some accusations. You can make some assessments. You can look at people's life and you wonder and you question sometimes. Are they truly believers? Are they truly walking with God? Yeah, 3 weeks ago, I had some shooting pain down my left leg down here. And it was going straight through my foot. And I was having trouble walking. And I got on crutches for a little bit because I couldn't even really hold myself up. Putting any pressure down, it was like it was just radiating pain straight through my foot. And I couldn't understand what was going on because I know I didn't work out. I know I didn't break anything because it's hard to break anything when you're just walking around and just sitting and teaching, and that's about it. So why in the world would I have pain? It didn't make any sense. It didn't even make any sense to my doctors. Troy, we know you don't do any exercise. Did your wife kick you? Not on that leg. It was this leg. So I went to the doctor, and she said, "Well, roll up your pants." So I rolled up my pants, and she was feeling around on my leg. She goes, "Well, I don't see any redness." And did you do anything weird? I said, "No, I haven't done anything." She kept asking me questions. She don't see any bones sticking out. There's no scars. There's no redness. There's no warmth. There's no scrapes. There's nothing. All she did was keep asking me more and more questions. And finally, we got to the point. "Oh, have you had surgery recently?" I said, "Yes, that is it. And my wife kicked me." And she said, "Well, I wonder, maybe you have a blood clot." I said, "Well, I wonder if I do." My wound was internal. So I went to the doctor later on that day. I had to get a sonogram. I got an x-ray, and they looked at it, and after about 30 minutes of putting all that goop all over me, I understood what women kind of go through. I listened for the the closest I'm ever coming to have a baby. And it went to my leg. Kind of weird, but it was kind of cool. I felt that goop all over me. And they found it. They said, "You have a blood clot." I said, "How about that? Am I going to die?" And she just looked at me. And she goes, "Not unless it goes to your heart." I was like, "Okay, so what next?" And she goes, "Well, we got to wait here for a little bit because someone else has got to look at it and make sure that that's really what it is." But that's what I think. So as I stared at these Cheez-Its that she set on this table and these cookies, and I waited for the great physician to tell me what my problem was. And sure enough, I had a blood clot. But see, what happened is that he needed to look internally. He had to look at the x-ray. He had to know for sure. See, a lot of times we want to look at the outward appearances of all these different situations and make our assumption of where people are in our life and where we are physically and where we are emotionally and where we are psychologically. But until you continue to ask questions and try to get to the root of the story, and until you have the great physician, the great counselor, the Holy Spirit of God to be able to look in your life, and you become and you can start looking and you can say, "I think this is it. I think I know what my problem is." Some of us have blood clots, and some of it's going straight to the heart. Some of it gets moved right here. Some of us are in life right here in this situation, but it's only one more step away before it hits the heart, before it hits something else in your life, and it goes and brings you down to your knees. And there's times when God allows those things to happen, not because He doesn't love you, but because He does love you. Because He's a healer of all wounds, but spiritual ones is what He cares most about. Peter understood this. In 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Jesus personally took our sins in His body on the cross so we could die to the grip of sin in our lives and be free to live in the right way. You are healed by His wounds." You're healed by His wounds. Jesus didn't die just to forgive you, although that is awesome. He also died to heal you of your wounds. And Peter is quoting from the Old Testament, 700 years from Isaiah, sharing the exact same words. Peter knew something about needing to deal with some wounds personally. And he was going to need that when he denied Him three more times. What does he say in church? Church, this is called redemptive suffering. You suffer not because you deserve it. You suffer on behalf of someone else. When you think about Jesus Christ, I want you to think about the redemptive suffering that He did for you. When you take on pain so that someone else does not have to take on that pain, that is called redemptive suffering. Parents, if you have a child, how many of you would actually take that pain away from your child onto yourself? I know I would. If my two kids, if my wife, if my friends, if my parents, if my brother, if my sister was taking on pain, I would take it on, especially my children. And Jesus Christ knows that, and He did that for you. He understands what redemptive suffering is because He loves you so much. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." There's got to be redemptive suffering. Someone has got to take off the robe and not condemn you and take on the penalty. Someone's got to be able to understand what our pain is going to be dealing with. And Jesus understood everything, and He understands what you're going through today. As I close, I want to share something that illustrates this redemptive suffering. It was June 22nd, 1997, when a skydiver, and I was thinking about you, Mike. He's the only one I know that's ever done this. Where a skydiver named Michael Costello was 42 years old, and he was an instructor where he was going to allow another person to latch onto the back of him, this beginner skydiver named Gareth Griffith, age 21, the picture that you see here today. They jumped out of the plane going around 5,000 feet up in the air, and as they began to soar down, it was time for the 21-year-old to pull his ripcord. The only problem is it did not open. And as they were dropping, pretty fast, I can only imagine, the only words the instructor, Michael Costello, said was, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." Over and over and over, the instructor said, "I'm so sorry." And just as they were about to hit the ground, Michael did something so far that we know of that no other person has ever done. Michael rolled in front of him, got in front of him, just as they were about to hit the ground, rolled in front of him, got in the way of the ground, and hit the ground instantly and died. 21-year-old Gareth Griffith lands on top of him and somehow is able to roll off. He broke his spine, he broke his part of his back, but was not paralyzed. And today, he's able to live through this. And there's the article that I found. What makes this story so amazing about this is not for the fact that this guy lived. What makes this story so popular is because someone gave his life for another human being. So he would not have to experience the suffering that he was about to take on. The cross, it offers redemptive suffering. It offers unconditional love. It offers grace. And I love the last part of Romans 6:23. See, I told you, for the wages of sin is death. Here's the great part. But the gift of God is eternal life in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why is Friday such a great Friday? It offers forgiveness, and it offers you the power through the Holy Spirit to heal your wounds. Acts 10:35, as I close, says this, God accepts anyone from any nation or race who worships Him and does what is right. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and you are ready to do as what He says, the door is open. The door is open for every single person. So I want to ask the question, have you opened the door for Jesus Christ in your life as Lord and Savior? If you haven't, this is the day. This is the day. And if you already have, there's a whole lot of people that have no idea what Good Friday is. Children, youth, and adults, co-workers, bosses, family members, church members. You know, there are people in the church, in all the churches that are filled, that people realize, I never knew this type of love. I never knew this type of relationship. And He would want each one of us to go and tell everyone what this blessing is all about. It's Good Friday this Friday. Be encouraged. But if you like Good Friday, you're going to love next Sunday. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You that, God, that we can understand two main things today. Through what You did on the cross, we can understand that, God, that You give 100% complete forgiveness. And Father, that is what I pray that each person will receive here today. If there's anyone here that has not put their trust in You as Lord and Savior, I pray that today, that God, that they would experience that 100% of grace and forgiveness. And the second thing I pray, that God, if there's anyone here that is maybe dealing with some type of wound, maybe just a sense of not being able to forgive someone, maybe some relationship problems, maybe just emotionally, maybe depression, maybe whatever's going on personally in their life. A lot of times, Lord, we can't see what's going on the outside because we don't have Your eyes. We don't have Your wisdom. We don't have Your insight. All we can do is guess. And all we can do is ask. And so I pray that, God, if there's anyone here today that has something internally going on, and maybe it's just spiritual, but maybe it's also something else, I pray that we can deal with the spiritual first. We can deal with the cure first. And then we'll deal with all the other symptoms. But I pray that we all have the willingness to ask. That we'll have the patience to ask. That we'll have the desire to ask of what's going on in other people's life. I'm glad that that doctor continued to ask me questions. And I'm glad that she told me where to go to get help and to find the source of my problem. Lord, I know that You are the answer. And I know that You are the source that can work everything else out. This is Your time. And I pray that, God, if there's anyone here that finds that this is their place of worship, I pray that they would come forward and make Living Hope their place. I pray that, God, if there's anyone here that just needs prayer, I pray that they'll come forward. I pray that, God, if they just need to sit still or maybe come and just be by themselves and just get to a point where they can just come and draw close to You, maybe it's been a while, I pray that they would do that today. God, You're the healer of all wounds, and You are the one that shows grace and love like no one else. So this is Your time. This is your opportunity to work in each in person's heart. You know what's going on inside everybody. I know I don't. And I pray that each person would find You today. In Christ's name, amen.